Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back to the Kia Studios. Day after the big game, Mercedes-Benz Stadium shining last night. Atlanta put on an incredible show. And in this hour, more of your reaction about the game, about the city, and about what took place over this whole week and the kind of show Atlanta gets. So at the moment, we don't have another Super Bowl scheduled for Atlanta. I think they're booked you, John Hugh, Daryl Wendy here on the morning show through 2024.
They are. I thought it was only for about 4 years. Okay, my fault. I was about to say something crazy.
Let me see here. Future Super Bowl sites. I'll check it out. We all know that Las Vegas is going to get.
Well, one's coming up in LA. I know next year is in Miami because Today they're having the handoff.
The handoff is today. Here it is. Let's see here. Hard Rock Stadium in Miami next year. Then Tampa in 2021. The new LA Stadium in 2022. Back to Phoenix in 2023, to the Swamp in 2024, and everybody seeming to think that Las Vegas will get 2025. So that'll be 2025, which puts 2026 into play. So that would be, 7 years from now. And I would think that Atlanta would get 2026, 2027. They're going to get another. Mercedes-Benz 2 years old. Let's say that the life of the stadium is 35 years, 40 years, okay? I think Mercedes-Benz Stadium will get 3 or 4 Super Bowls when it's said and done. I think they'll get multiple Super Bowls.
Yeah, and somebody just pointed out, we're talking about how great it was for us because we're here. We're here in the city. We're actually here in the city of Atlanta.
Right.
I wonder how it played for people that weren't from here. I'm pretty sure that there'll probably be some basic gripes about the fact that, maybe traffic was a little bit of an issue, because it was. Like, when you got downtown, especially by the Hyatt, there was a little bit of a traffic issue because that was the host hotel for the NFL and the Patriots. Mm-hmm. So it was a little bit of traffic there. But I think all in all, I had to go to the Hyatt one night. It wasn't bad getting there. The biggest problem that I had was I don't know why that I thought that I was going to be able to park valet at the hotel. I don't know why I thought that. So I had to park behind the hotel a little bit. But that still within itself wasn't that bad. I think that most people would say that as far as venues go and getting into certain places, it was pretty easy, especially if you were on the list. I would be curious to know if anybody went to that Shaq party. I think John and Rick and John went, and I would be curious to know how that went, because I saw some of the pictures from that. It looked like it was epic.
It was pretty packed. I had a few friends who were at that party, and they said it was really hard to move around.
See, that's something that I can honestly say.
It's $600 a ticket?
That's something that I can honestly say that I was glad that I didn't run into. I really didn't. I went to Jerome Bettis' party, him and Barry Gardner's party, which was really nice. I forgot where it was at. It was, I know it was in the Swats. I forgot the name of the place, but it was like a big warehouse. And that was nice. It was a nice spot. I'll tell you who else had a nice party. Shout out to my man, Steve Ewing. Steve Ewing, I can't remember the name of the party, but Steve, if you're listening, please give me that info, because I kind of fell in the tail end of his party at the Intercontinental. Man, that was nice. And I had a little fanboy moment because I saw Dr. J. And when I saw Dr. J, it's funny because I saw Dr. J. And, Dr. J was back there chilling, smoking a stogie, chilling, right? So I said, Dr. J, big fan, da-da-da-da-da. And I said, yeah, I play for the Eagles. I'm thinking to myself, I'm kind of like a big deal in Philadelphia myself. Dr. J looked at me and I told him my name. He didn't say my name correct, but it didn't matter. Whatever he said, I was like, yeah, that's me. That's it. But to see him, because I'm a number two. I'm number two on the pecking order. But still, I had a little bit of a fanboy moment. Saw my man, Algie Crumpler. Hey, Algie, if you're listening, man, got that bottle for you. Got that bottle of Camus. Because he asked me for a bottle. So shout out to my man, Derek Hacker, because he definitely asked me about that. Algie was chilling. We shared a cigar together. Victor Green, my man Victor Green. Saw a lot of guys that I played with. And it was a great time. But, shout out to my man Steve. Steve threw an epic party. It was a lot of grown folks at that party.
Yeah, a lot of my friends at town from the media side of things, and it was great to see them as because everybody comes out, especially late in the week. You know, all the guys from San Diego and whatnot, California coming out here to because, as you know, I spent a number of years in Southern California, so from Fox and from radio and TV out in California. So that was a lot of fun to see. And just as you said, Hugh, to reconnect with old people you hadn't seen. We had Kurt Menefee on the show. I hadn't seen Kurt. Kurt and I worked together at CNN, and then we worked together at another network. I hadn't seen Kurt in a number of years. So
Kurt took a shot, too, about that year in Jacksonville, but it was cool. Kurt's a funny guy. It was cool. Mm-hmm. It was cool.
Yeah, so, you know, just great fun to have all these people around once more and for Atlanta to put on the show that it put on because, frankly, Atlanta was, I think, shined in all of this. This is my second Super Bowl in Atlanta. I thought this was far better than the first Super Bowl that I went to in Atlanta, which was the second, which was 94. I did not go to the first one. But the 94 Super Bowl, I went to the 94 Super Bowl. And the first one was, what, 1994? Oh, that was the first one. Sorry. The second one was 2000, the Ice Bowl. I went to the first one in 94. I did not go to the Ice Bowl. I was up north at the time. And so this was my second one. And this was, and of course, maybe it being your first, this was, they just had more going on. Of course, back in 1994, Hugh, we did not have the College Football Hall of Fame and the World of Coke. And, you know, we didn't have Centennial Olympic Park. We had none of that was existing because it was pre-Olympics. So none of that really existed. But the town is just put, this town does a phenomenal job of putting on big events. Certain towns do. Look, I'll credit New Orleans. New Orleans does a great job of putting on big events. Vegas does a great job of putting on big events. San Diego does a great job of putting on big events. Miami, not so much. You know, you just, no. I mean, I was at the Indianapolis Colts Bears Super Bowl in Miami. You wouldn't even know there was a game in town. There was no buzz. Everything was spread out. It was just like, oh, it's Thursday. You know, okay.
I mean, I think that's what made it great in Miami. I think what made it great here is, like in all cities, is that, well, cities that can handle this, is the fact that it was a big deal, but it didn't gridlock the city, if that makes sense, because you could take it, you could either take it or leave it. That's what I liked about it, and some of the parties were so spread out. Oh yeah, shout out to Jermaine Dupri too with that Hennessy party. I heard that was pretty epic as well. It was so spread out that you didn't get too. It wasn't like gridlock and congested everywhere that you went. It wasn't hard to get to certain things that you went to. Yeah, shout out to Big Ticket, too. They had the party at the Atrium Saturday night. That was pretty good. That was a pretty good party as well.
So we are taking your responses to a lot of different things here, and we want to kind of open it up to all these things, you know, what your impressions were of the Super Bowl, of the broadcast of the city at 404-741-0929 in this hour. And also on our Twitter, where we're asking you what the best Super Bowl commercial was. We're also talking about, you know, did the game stink or did it not stink? I don't think the game stunk. I mean, I think of Super Bowls that were far worse than this. I don't think it was necessarily a bad game, but others disagree. For example, at JWhip13 says on our Twitter, two big takeaways from the Super Bowl. One, for as good as the Rams D, it was unacceptable to have Goff throw 38 times. Two, McVay's comment about being outcoached was a weak excuse for trying to accept not having his team ready. Here's the cut where McVay says he got outcoached.
I'm pretty numb right now, but definitely I got outcoached, and I didn't do nearly good enough for a football team. You know, the thing that's so tough about all of this is that, you know, the finality to it. You know, usually when you get a chance, if you go through some adversity, you can bounce back right away. This one's going to stick with you and just stings in your gut. And like I said, I'm still kind of numb right now, but have so much love for these players and these coaches, and that's where, you know, it eats at you because you feel like you didn't do your part to help them.
You got him there, but did he get outcoached, Hugh?
I think the game plan was solid for the New England Patriots. His quarterback is young. Being outcoached is a relative term that I think fans like to throw around. But you know what I find funny? And I'm not picking on what the tweet says, but it's just kind of interesting that when a coach sits up there and he gives you his best analogy of what happened, people are quick to point out that he got outcoached. That's what the fans do. They point that out. But on the flip side of it, this guy says it, and now he's still getting heat for speaking his truth. It's funny how, as a fan, we can't Like, we can't have it both ways. You either want your coach to be transparent or you don't. Because some fans would complain about the fact that if he would have set up then, he wouldn't have said anything. They want an explanation. So I guess my thing for that is that no matter what you do as a coach, you can never satisfy people. That's what I heard when I listened to what that tweeter said. That's what I kind of hear, is that, dang, you can't win for losing. I mean, you know, you just got punched in the gut from probably, you know, from reaching these great heights and going to the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. and to lose it in that fashion. You just can't win for losing. And I look at it like, when you look at the two young quarterbacks you look at the one young quarterback was playing, they just had a great game plan to confuse him. Had a great game plan to confuse him. And people talking about throwing the ball 38 times, the running game was really kind of a non-factor in this game. Now, granted, you probably have to stick to the running game a little bit more in this situation, but when you're playing a game like this, you know, you kind of want to put some points on the board, because we all knew that if it came down to the last waning minutes of the game, we know that probably more than likely Tom Brady was going to pull another rabbit out of his hat. We kind of knew that was going to happen.
Well, we're taking a lot of your reaction here. 404-741-0929, what you thought of the city and the job that the city did in terms of Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And this is what, again, Mercedes-Benz Stadium was built for. How did it grade out, in your opinion, and what kind of a party did this city throw for the world and for the NFL this week? We're also talking about the game. What you thought of the game. I'm running a little poll on my Twitter at John Fricke, where I'm asking a very simple question, which is more true about Super Bowl 53, either great defense or suck offense? Which is more true, Hugh? Because right now the vote is 50-50. If you had to go great defense, suck offense.
I would say great defense. I'm a defender, mm-hmm. and that's the way, you know, I watch the game. So I would say great defense.
Give Atlanta a grade, the city, the stadium, and what we did this week. Give them a letter grade.
A+.
I give them an A+, too. Is there somebody out there that gives them a lower one? And if so, tell us why.
I got a text from my man, Eternal Optimist. He said he had some friends come in from KC area for the pre-Super Bowl festivities. He said it was great. Not too much traffic outside of downtown. Celebrity football game at SunTrust was great. And $300 for a Bruno Mars concert, that was about right. So, yeah, I mean, it was. I think that it was spread out enough so that if you wanted to deal with certain aspects of the game, that you could at your leisure. So that's what I liked about it, because where I live, I didn't have to worry too much about traffic, except for if you're going like 3 o'clock in the morning, going to the IHOP or the Waffle House or something like that. But outside of that, no, not a whole lot of traffic I had to deal with.
And so we have a big poll going on, too, on our Twitter at 929 The Game about the best Super Bowl commercial. I mean, overall, I would give, if I take all the commercials, and right now the NFL 100 Super Bowl commercial is being voted as the best ahead of the Bud Light Game of Thrones. As overall, I don't think it was the worst Super Bowl for commercials, but I think it was pretty average. I would give the overall, all the commercials combined and thrown into a hot, I give it a C.
I didn't like the Pepsi commercials, and I didn't like the fact that, like, I know probably Lil Jon got a big old check, but I think Pepsi tried a little bit too hard in the city of Coke. I really do. But, I mean, hey, they paid money to be the sponsor, and they paid money for their commercials. But, yeah, I thought they tried a little bit too hard.
Yeah, and the halftime show, I think I would grade as a D in my book.
It didn't really matter to me. I liked the fact Big Boy was out there doing the Cadillac, him and Sleepy Brown. Shout out to Big Boy.
That was the highlight of the whole halftime show, and it probably should have been the whole halftime show. Jackson's in Atlanta. He's on with John and Hugh. Jackson, welcome to the show. Hello, Jackson.
Just making sure you guys can hear me. I just wanted to, you know, thank you guys personally. The tremendous media world coverage you guys had last week, man. I'm not sure if the rest of the guys or the ladies listening, you know, tuned in to that. It was awesome to see, you know, check in throughout the day. And look at all the guests that you guys have, and see you guys in person, man. But, you know, before we get, you know, to the Super Bowl, everyone that's calling the game boring, I kind of look at it like this. If I went to a science fair and I didn't understand some of the things that were going on, I'd probably call it boring too. You know, the X's and O's that was going on last night between the game are really between somebody who understands the game at a higher level. And I feel like the people that are saying that are Super Bowl watchers only, you know. If anybody knows this game, man, the techniques that were ran last night on some of those, you know, bat downs and on the defensive line, you know, man, that was a high-level win game. And I don't think nothing was boring about that game. So I'll let you guys go ahead and get back to that.
Appreciate
it. Now, be nice. You can't come on and like get highbrow with it.
I mean, I watch football all the time, but I don't. I prefer more offensive games. So the game was boring to me.
I wanted
some more points.
Right. I think
scored.
That, right. If you're a fan of offensive football, the game was a little slow and dry. I get that. At the same time, though, I'm going to argue to you, it was tied in the fourth quarter. The Rams had the ball. You know, I mean, the Super Bowl's on the line, and you had to make a play, and New England made the plays, and the Rams didn't down the stretch. And so there was some drama invested in the fact that it was the way it went. I was kind of fascinated. I tell you what, I tweeted out at halftime, I said, 3-0 is a score at Mercedes-Benz Stadium normally reserved for Atlanta United. Who had 3-0 at halftime?
Nobody. I tell you, everybody watches the game different. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the defensive back and forth. I enjoyed the three and outs because it's the biggest game of your life at that point, and everybody wanted it. It just came down to the end of it, which team blinked, which defense blinked. I think Wade Phillips had a great game plan for Tom Brady. I think that he did a great job of disguising coverages. He did a great job of disguising man and zone coverages. It just broke down at the end. Again, everybody watches the game differently, and you know, everybody sees the game from their perspective. Me personally, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the game immensely.
Let's go to Rex and Marietta. And again, you want to talk about the commercials, that's fine. You want to weigh in on the halftime show or the game itself, City of Atlanta. Kind of a number of things you can weigh in on how you felt about this. I think the A+, you and I kind of agree, goes to our city. But I may have blinders on in terms of, you know, my love for this town. So I admit that. But at the same time, I've been in Super Bowls in Miami, New Orleans, San Diego, Pontiac, Michigan, and Atlanta. Okay, so I've been in different locations. I'm going to tell you, I think Atlanta threw one hell of a party. Rex is in Marietta. He's on with John and Hugh. Morning, Rex.
Hey, morning, guys. I just want to talk about the game. I think Atlanta did a great job hosting. You know, great event. But I think the game itself last night epitomizes the career of Tom Brady. And he has been handed as a genius coach in Bill Belichick, who's always had a top 10 defense. While Tom Brady's been in New England, they shut down one of the best offenses in the NFL and held them to 0 points at halftime and 3 points total overall. I mean, it's unreal. I mean, Tom Brady this postseason had more interceptions than touchdowns, and for him just to be carried by that defense and run game, I think just epitomizes Tom Brady's career. Thanks.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, he's carried the defense at times, too. I mean, there's been a kind of a symbiotic relationship.
Yeah, it's weird how that kind of works and how, again, how people see it differently. Now, you know, you look at the plays that were made by Tom Brady in clutch moments, they were pretty good. But, you know, again, everybody sees it differently. Everybody's going to see it differently. That's just the beautiful part about being, you know, a spectator of the sport.
React on Twitter. At 929 The Game to the Super Bowl commercials. React on the phone at 404-741-0929. What did you think of the commercials at large? What did you think of the halftime show? What did you think of the City of Atlanta? And we'll talk about the game. Your chance to chop up everything about Super Bowl 53 with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 929 The Game. Morning show on Sports Radio 92 on The Game with John and Hugh at the Kia Studios. Your call's coming up. We'll get to the phones in a moment. A lot to weigh in on. We have been grading kind of the week. I graded the game as a B-. The commercials I graded it as a C. Halftime show I gave a D. And then City of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, I gave an A+ to. A lot of people don't agree with my B- on the game. But, you know, I've seen a lot worse Super Bowls, Hugh. I just have. I mean, Miami and Washington played a Super Bowl way back in the day in Super Bowl V that was just blah.
You know, it's funny. I was I had to run downstairs real quick, and it was these two young ladies that when I was riding up, they were talking about the game. And you know how you listen to the conversation. I was ear hustling. And they didn't like the game. Like, they didn't really give any basic. They just said it was kind of boring. People are used to the exciting, high-flying scoring of the NFL, which is fine. And it was just funny to hear them, you know, speak out about what they didn't like about the game. Again, everybody watches the game differently. I like the strategic part of it. I like the chess match that was being played last night. And not to sound snobbish, but it's okay to watch the game like that too, and it's okay to be the type of person who wants a lot of points scored. I think in this situation that the majority of the people around America feel like it was a boring game because we had gotten so used to 40 and 50 point games, you know, some of the highest point totals of the season. We got used to that Patrick Mahomes, New Orleans Saints high-flying, high-scoring game come down to the last possession with 50 points on the board. Who's going to score the most points during the season? It's not going to always be like that. And if you look at the Super Bowls in the past, there's only been a few flat-out blowouts that come to mind. I think what the 85 Bears was a blowout, right? The 85 Bears was a blowout. You look at the game that was played last year, that was a high-scoring affair. But it's one of those games where that was probably the worst defensive showing in the history of the NFL. It's just different every time. I think that people need to be a little bit more open-minded
when Broncos, it comes to that. Broncos and Seahawks, that Super Bowl, what, 5-6 years ago, where the Seahawks just destroyed them? That thing was no fun to watch. Now, I'll give you kind of a recent one. I'm not even talking about when the Niners were killing everybody 55-10. I mean, there's a period of time where all the games were blowouts. I mean, so again, even if it was a little dry from a scoring perspective, it was 3-3 in the fourth quarter. We didn't know it was going to win. So I think from that perspective, that's just my take on it.
And some people were, and again, another thing that the lady said, they were just mad because it was always the Patriots. People didn't like the fact that it was the Patriots either. I mean, that's what it is. It is what it is, man. It is what it is.
All right, Sean's in Atlanta. He's on with John and Hugh. Morning to you, Sean.
Hey, how you guys doing, man? Great show.
Good morning.
What's up, man?
Man, yeah, I think I called to talk about Atlanta as a host city, man. I think it was awesome, honestly, man. I give it an A+, just like you. I think that everybody can afford to necessarily go to the game and pay $2,000, let alone pay $500 plus a ticket to the parties, man. So when you look at the things that Centennial Park was doing, I work right downtown at the College Football Hall of Fame, so I'm literally walking outside of work, going over to the Super Bowl Live experience, and it was great, man, just to be immersed in that experience. Have that fun, see those people. Being able to see celebrities without having to pay thousands of dollars, I think it was great. Now, granted, I don't have a measuring rod because this is my first Super Bowl, but if I ever go to another one, I'm going to expect to get at least what I got here for sure.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was at.
That's a great way to put it, Sean. Thanks.
The only thing that I pay for, I took $100 out the bank this weekend. I only spent like $80, and that was for parking, like for real. Did not partake in any alcoholic beverages or anything. I partied just a little bit different. I enjoyed myself. And got more bang for my buck. Only thing I paid for mostly was breakfast. I did the breakfast thing.
All right. So, again, we're grading everything. You want to weigh in on the game, the commercials overall. You want to weigh in on the halftime show. You want to weigh in Atlanta. I want to ask about the halftime show, which I gave a D to. Our musical expert, of course, is D. He is DJ Jazzy Pop. He is the guy that is the musical director of the show. You watched it, D. Give me your impression of the halftime show.
Yeah, so I actually saw the halftime show this morning with Wendy. We were watching it here in the room together. And she kind of prompted me a little bit. She said, it's just a concert. And as I watched it, it really was. It was like a safe choice. It was just a concert. It was not a show, like the halftime show. It wasn't anything spectacular. It was a safe choice. It was just musicians getting down. You had a little Big Boy, you had a little Travis, but for the most part, it was just a safe show.
And as a result, it was boring.
But my thing is this.
You want to talk about boring? I thought that was the boring part.
When I think about Super Bowl halftime shows, they're basically snippets.
Well, Adam did take his shirt off. I guess that was
racy. But they're all basically snippets, right?
Right.
They're snippets.
What's up, Adam?
They're snippets of like a live show. Like Beyonce's was a snippet of like her music. And she brought out Bruno Mars. Was that the Bruno? That was the Bruno Mars one, right? I don't see the difference. I really don't. Because, like, if we want to be fair, a lot of people got a little bit of heat.
It was more of a show, though.
Okay, again.
She got heat because of her stance.
Yeah, her presentation. I get that. But I guess in my ignorance, I'm asking, what was the difference between that show and this one?
It was more of a concert. It was just a concert. It was nothing spectacular about it. It was just guys up there. It was real musicians up there doing their thing.
Okay.
Beyonce had a whole tribe of dancing Amazons.
Okay. Thank you. Because I didn't look at it. I see what you're saying. I didn't look at it like that. But wasn't that the purpose of the people there holding footballs when he went into the crowd? Wasn't they like.
That's.
That's a concert feel.
But that's piped in. That wasn't real.
I got you. I hear you. I hear you. I guess when you put it, when you say it like that, I understand it better. But to me, honestly, there was no difference between the two. But I get what you're saying.
And I'm not a Maroon 5 fan. I mean, I know a couple of their songs like This Love and Move Like Jagger, and that's about it. But I think from a live perspective, I think they're a studio band. Just saying. Mike in Atlanta, you're on with John and Hugh. Hey, Mike, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. I'll give the city A+. Traffic flowed smoothly. As far as the concert, I liked it. I didn't notice any difference from the halftime show than any other show. I liked it. The best commercial was that Lenny Kravitz's daughter did a Michelob commercial.
Man.
That was hot. I don't even drink it. I wanted
to. Is that the organic one?
Right, organic. And also,
bro,
the Super Bowl game, Sony Michelle impressed me, and that O-line was greater than the Patriots. And Hugh, who was that guy that was manhandling Darnold from the Patriots?
Oh, that was a double team, man. They ran at him a lot. And what they would do, they would double team him, and they would let the guy get position on him, and then he would slide off and go to somebody else. He'd go to the linebacker or somebody. They did a great job of working him and going to the next level. If you notice in that game, they kind of left Ndamukong Suh on his own. Like, he was out of position a lot in that game because he was getting up the field.
Right.
And that's what they were doing, a great job of using their strength against them. And they kept Aaron Donald for the most part in check.
And then you had Flowers and Van Noy on the other side, and Van Noy was just everywhere again, you know, underrated as a linebacker in the scheme that they did. You know, the whole thing about, you know, having guys kind of walk around a little bit on the defensive line. Jared Goff was lost. Andrew and Grayson is on with John and you. Andrew, taking in the city.
Great show, guys.
Halftime, commercials, game. What do you want to win?
I give the weather. The weather made everything happen. I give the weather A++++ because that made Atlanta shine. Because if the weather was bad, everything would be bad. Now, me coming downtown was a bad idea from Grayson trying to go to NFL experience. I should have took Martyr.
Yep.
But so I end up not making it. I sat in traffic for like an hour in one spot, and then I was like, hey, son, let's go home. Now, what I will say, greatness is not measured, and you probably will say that's real. Greatness is not measured lightly. What I saw with Belichick and Brady, them guys, they make adjustment. Everything, they made adjustment. To win the game, they ran the same play three times, different formation. I know you probably saw it. I knew it was going to Gronk, so I don't know why they put a linebacker on him at that time. But what I would say with McVay, the defense played, both defense played well. I respect what I saw on both ends of the defense. I wouldn't say it was as boring. I would say it's chess. And both defense played well. McVay should never have gave – Goff was lost the whole game. They should have made the game easier for him. They should have ran a lot more rub, a lot more West Coast where it was three-step drop, get rid of the ball. They gave him too much time to think. And him thinking against New England, they disguised the coverage. Because even
– Yeah, right. He would go downfield and he had nobody open. The one time they showed the replay of the one receiver, and forgive me for not knowing who it was, Cooks or whoever, came open over the middle at midfield, was the only time I saw a Rams player, either live or on a replay, that was open. I mean, everything else was just blanket coverage.
Yeah, they did a great job of disguising coverages. That's what I got from the game. It was one of those games where when you thought they weren't coming, they were. And when they weren't coming, they were in coverage. He felt pressure sometimes that wasn't there, and it made him hold on to the ball. I mean, and that was the genius of the defensive calls that were made. It's like they would make calls with one play that the linebacker flashed like he was blitzing. They changed the protection. It wasn't a blitz. They dropped back in coverage, incomplete pass. That was the genius of what they were able to do, because the one thing that you always want to do to a quarterback is you want to speed up that clock in his head. Mm-hmm. You want to make him feel like there's pressure.
Right.
So that way he'll get ready to ball before he wants to. There's a couple times where if he could have just held on the ball a little bit longer, he could have made some plays. And there were some times where he sat in the pocket and he was able to deliver the football, but it wasn't enough for them to get points on the board.
Right, and the inability to run the ball. And Todd Gurley, I don't know if it was an injury or what, but he was MIA. I mean, in the third quarter, I'm tweeting out, what's the over-under in Vegas on Gurley? One play? I mean, it was just they weren't going to him till late in the game. And by that time, it was probably too late. All right, more of your calls ahead. around the corner here. I got to remind you that college football and high school football fans, you need to be part of National Signing Day. It's Wednesday. Midday show of Rick and John are going to be broadcasting at Stars and Stripes in Tukula from 10 to 2. Again, 10 to 2 in Tukula at Stars and Stripes for National Signing Day. We're teaming up with Score Atlanta to bring you the most extensive coverage of Signing Day in Georgia. That's 10 to 2 on Wednesday at Stars and Stripes in Tukula. Again, more of your reaction here. How do you grade the game, the commercials, the halftime show, and the city? With John and Hugh, the day after Super Bowl 53 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now streaming anywhere on Radio.com and the Radio.com app.
We are killing it online.
Stay up to date with Atlanta sports no matter where you go. Streaming live now at Radio.com and the Radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, we're learning how you define bad and boring this morning. I mean, I don't think it was a bad Super Bowl. I don't think it was a boring Super Bowl. But some people do think it was both bad and boring. John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You, I think, are boring. And looking at this list, Super Bowl 24 in 1990, San Francisco 55, Denver 10. You know, that's boring to me. A Super Bowl 3 years later, we're in Pasadena, where Dallas beat Buffalo 52-17. You know, these are Washington beat Denver in 1988, 42-10.
I wouldn't even classify those as boring. I would say more so one-sided than anything. You know, when you think about the game of that magnitude and the fact that it's the last game of the season, and to have one team show up and not show up, I think that's more of a one-sided affair. You could probably, lump that in with boring, because a lot of people probably felt that from that fan base that that team was going to do a lot better job than it did. Mm-hmm. So that'll probably work as boring. But, man, when I think about it, and this is probably the reason why I feel the way that I do, when you think about what it takes to get to a game, to that game, and to have it play out the way that it did, to me, I see two teams that wanted it real bad. And one team blinked, and the other one capitalized on it. I mean, to me, that's what it should always be in a Super Bowl, especially when you talk about the number one ranked offense and the number two ranked offense going against one another, you know, and the fact that when you look at both of these defenses, I don't even think that going into this game, when the season ended, that they were top 10 defenses, because one of the better defenses is sitting at home, and that was Chicago Bears.
Mm-hmm.
So for them to be able to put up that kind of a defensive effort in a game like this with the highest scoring offenses in the game, I think that's pretty impressive myself.
Go to Alan. Atlanta wants to jump in on all this as we recap the Super Bowl, whether it was bad and boring. I give the city of Atlanta an A+2. Hey, Al.
Hey, morning, John. And you, first of all, man, best sports radio morning show on Atlanta, man. Y'all keep it interesting. I just want to say I give the city of Atlanta A+ for hosting the Super Bowl. Thank God the weather held off. As far as the game itself, I got to say I was glad to see that they was able to get Gladys Knight to come back home to see the national anthem. It was good to see, you know, Bernice King, the daughter of Marla King, there to do the you know, the toss. And the commissioner, when he came down here to Atlanta, he went to the birth home of the civil rights icon, Marla King, and he went to the King Center, and to see the jets fly over over the city, over the dome, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, that was epic. As far as the game itself, I give it a C. It was a good defensive game. For those who know about football, they understand it was a good defensive game, so I appreciated that. Got to send a shout-out to Jermaine Dupri for doing that. He did a whole week of free concerts down in Centennial Park Saturday, 70,000-plus, no incidents. That was epic. And
you know what? That's the way. You know what? I'll stop right there, because that's a great point, and I appreciate it. And we've got some other calls. No incidents. I guess we have, you know, one or two minor ones. But, I mean, for the most part, nothing major happened in town. And so, you know, the city and everything kind of went smoothly, Hugh. I mean, that's another good part of this, because Al makes a great point. This was a fairly, you know, fairly free of major incident here. And we know we understand that we had an incident, a major event in our history, a big one. Back in 96. But so I give credit to the city for learning and for doing a good job, because you always kind of sit on a razor's edge whenever you're hosting an event of this magnitude.
Well, it was a few people that ran into a little trouble, because I know Bow Wow got them things put on him.
Yeah, he got scratched up pretty good.
Bow Wow got hands put on him. Like, you know.
Man, the memes coming out of that was pretty funny, I have to say.
Hey, I tell you what, though.
Cats like scratching
as far as fights go, like, I didn't see her. Like, she didn't look like somebody you would want to have that smoke with. Like, for real. I know, you know. I mean, she looked like she knew where the gym was a little bit.
She stays in the gym. I'll say that.
You know, hey, D, like, listen, I don't condone none of that putting hands on women. But Bow Wow, you probably could have picked a better fight, like, with a dude instead of that girl. She looked like – and then you see the memes of the mug shots? He looked like he caught the worst of it.
Oh, yeah.
He looked like he caught the worst of it.
Yeah, gashes across his forehead. Like Wolverine had gotten a hold of him.
Yeah, she looked like she put them hands on him.
Man. But you know, aside from that particular one, I mean, for the most part, incident-free, very happy. The city did, you know, showed well. I mean, we are going to get, even though it hasn't been announced, I'll guarantee that Atlanta's going to get multiple Super Bowls. We've already seen, look at this stadium, Hugh. In 2 years, what this stadium has done. National championship game, setting aside, you know, national semifinal. I mean, setting aside the SEC championship game, the MLS Cup, the MLS All-Star game, all the big concerts, and now a Super Bowl, and next year the Final Four. And in the future, by the way, we are getting a semifinal game of the World Cup. You can, I know they can't announce this. I don't have any inside information. I'm just telling you that's going to happen because it can't not. All right? It just can't not. So this stadium, even for all the angst that some people had about the stadium when it was being built, okay, this stadium has been a blessing for this city. It has been the focal point of driving all of this to this town. Without it, if we still had the Georgia Dome, we would have had none of this, Hugh. None of it. I can't say we wouldn't have had the MLS Cup here.
So you're waxing poetic about the city. They did a great job. They did a great job. There's no denying that. There's no denying that. And I think that, John, with the way that this infrastructure is growing in the city of Atlanta, that there would have probably been a good chance if we'd have had the Georgia Dome that we would have still had a Super Bowl appearance here again. I just think that with this being one of the newer stadiums, that was just the icing on the cake. I think when you look at the city of Atlanta and how much it's grown, this is a city that's a movie mecca now. They're making movies here all the time. As a matter of fact, what was that Madea movie where Jill Scott and met when her husband left her? The other guy she dated, I can't think of the guy's name. He was at Amon Rucker. Rucker, what's his name?
Lamond Rucker.
Lamond, that's, you're right. Good way to pull.
I be knowing stuff.
Yeah, he was here. Like, there were so many stars in attendance here in Atlanta last night that I think that alone is going to make sure that it's guaranteed that there's going to be another Super Bowl here, John. I mean, it's just one of those things where Atlanta has grown to the point where even if they did have an old stadium, I think there's going to be a lot of major events coming here. And the way that the city handled it. I mean, you're talking about a city of this magnitude. Everywhere that you went, there were so many major things going on. And to basically go off without a hitch, only thing that happened was Bow Wow got beat up. And I read somewhere where 21 Savage got arrested by the ICE agents. I don't know. What is ICE? Who is the ICE agents?
It's immigration.
He's an immigrant?
Yep, he's a British citizen.
Did not know that. Okay, now that makes sense.
Yeah, he's being deported.
Never mind. I'm going to keep those coming to myself. But that you're talking about a great city that, you know, is probably going to host a whole lot of other events.
Well, I'll say this much, too. If you're headed down to the airport, if you're flying out today, you should know that early this morning they announced that you're best to get there at least 3 hours in advance, that they expect a record number of travelers outbound through the – as a matter of fact, we've gotten a couple of tweets from folks that are in the security lines at TSA at Hartsfield-Jackson, where they say well north of 100,000 people are pushing through security between, say, 6 a.m. and sometime after noon this morning. So those lines are going to be long. You just have to be patient because so many people are getting out of town now after the Super Bowl. This is to be expected. But again, a record number of people outbound through Hartsfield this morning at 100,000 plus. So they're just working their way through that. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people to put through a security system when you're talking about 100,000 people that you're putting through that security at Hartsfield. Think about it. You know, it gets backed up, and you get backed up, and, you know, snaking through the line at main security, and it starts to back up, you know, over towards the elevators. You know what I'm saying? When it starts to back up over there. And maybe you have 1,000 people in line, right? Or 1,500 at the most. And now we're talking 100,000? Yeah, now you're talking about those lines are down the hall and out the door. And
somebody tweeted me out a picture. They're at the airport right now. Okay. Sorry, I apologize because I've gotten a lot of tweets today, but I can't recall your name. But somebody tweeted out a picture, and they're in line. It's a lot of people trying to get up out of here today.
Yeah, even in probably the clear line or the TSA pre-screen line.
Yeah, the line that you pay like $80.
Mm-hmm.
$80 to get into, yeah.
So just, again, take your time and get there early. If you're flying out this afternoon and you got a 2 o'clock flight, me, I'd probably be headed down there about now. Just saying. You know, I mean, I'm not gonna push this because you don't want to be late for your flight. There's other NFL news. We got to pass along a couple of stories to you as we take your calls, too. There's news about the offseason. The Eagles are making news. There's big news about Florida State. A couple of big stories. Getting kind of lost in all the Super Bowl hype here. We're going to bring up to speed on a couple of those stories, tell you what's going on. Kind of breaking football stories next with John and Hugh on the Morning Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.